Christian Crusaders extends a heartfelt welcome to each of our listeners today. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the close of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Do you find life frightening? Most of us do. I'd like to talk with you about that in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, though we live in one of the most highly developed civilizations known to man, we realize that there are many things that cause us to fear. We realize, Heavenly Father, that humans are able to take away many of the fears with all of our advancements, and yet underneath there is that deep fear, sometimes a fear of the unknown, wondering what is going to happen to us next. God in heaven, we pray that as you deal with that in your word again and again, so you will speak to us this day, and we may find our peace in knowing that Christ Jesus walks with us. For it is in his name that we pray. Amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the 18th chapter of 1 Samuel. When the men were returning home after David had killed the Philistines, the women came out from all the towns of Israel to meet King Saul with singing and dancing, with joyful songs and with tambourines and lutes. As they danced, they sang, "Saul has slain his thousands, and David his tens of thousands." Saul was very angry. This galled him. "They have credited David with tens of thousands," he thought, "but me with only thousands. What more can he get but the kingdom?" And from that time on, Saul kept a jealous eye on David. Then in chapter 22 of 1 Samuel, beginning with verse 1, David left Gath and escaped to the cave of Adullam. When his brothers and his father's household heard about it, they went down to him there. all those who were in distress or in debt or discontentment gathered around him, and he became the leader. About 400 men were with him. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Friends in Christ, have you ever lived in a wilderness? I haven't, and I really don't have any desire to. Maybe some of you have taken an exotic vacation into the wilderness, but weren't you always happy to get back to civilization again? Didn't a good warm shower feel good and a nice bed and all the rest that we have in our homes? I think so. The closest that I have ever come to the wilderness was sitting on the back porch of a gorgeous home in Arizona. And out from that back porch, there was what you could describe as a wilderness. I enjoyed just getting a cup of coffee and going out there and sitting and looking out into that desolate area. Here would come a coyote. And right after that, there would come one of those javelinas. I get interested in those javelinas. You know, they're wild boars. And so I said to the hostess where we were staying, would they harm you? And she smiled and said, well, I don't know, but I keep my dog away from there. And she said, I certainly would not want to go down and pet the animal. And then one day I got a little bit more courageous and I thought I'd just move out into that wilderness a little bit. And you know what happened? An unfriendly cactus plant threw some of its needles at me, and my wife spent the best part of an hour pulling those needles out of my back. I didn't take another trip back into the wilderness. Well, years gone by, that's the way many people had to live, and David was one of these individuals. As a little boy, he was a shepherd, you recall. And as a shepherd, he had to be out there in the wilderness, tending the sheep, fighting bears and lions, the scriptures tell us, and he must have had some very, very difficult times. But now he was living in the wilderness, according to the text that is ours today, and he was there because Saul, the king, was jealous of him. It just so happened that David had served the king too well, and the people got to know David just a little bit better and loved him just a little bit more than old King Saul. And so when David came back from killing the Philistine, the women cried out, Saul has slain his thousands, but David his tens of thousands. And that made Saul very, very angry. So he decided that he had to do something with David, and he was going to kill him. To save his life, it was necessary for David to leave Gath and to go to the cave of Adullam. And there his brothers and his father's household heard about it, and they went down to him too. But along came a group of people, and certainly they were not the most prestigious people in Israel's society. They were not really the most educated, nor were they necessarily the most well-to-do. They were people who were in distress, the Bible says, or in debt, or discontentment, and they gathered together around a leader, about 400 of them. And then it goes on to tell us that when David's family found out about it, they decided to join them too. So they were a cozy little group from four, it finally grew to about 600, who lived there in the wilderness. Life in the wilderness. It was not a very pleasant experience. But it's an interesting thing to notice that these 400 people became really the people of God. They strengthened each other. There's no mention in the text about the spiritual life within the group, but we can very well assume that David was not going to let that go very long before he began to talk to them about the Almighty God. And I can believe that they had regular devotional periods there. It seems that he intimates that when he writes his 133rd Psalm. He says, "How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity, for there the Lord bestows his blessings." In other words, there was a oneness there. You can't live alone in the wilderness. You have to have people around you to help you, to care for you, to minister to you as you do the same to them. And so there they lived in the wilderness until Saul was dead, and it was safe for David to return to civilization and become Israel's reigning king. In the book that I'm reading, and really helping me a great deal with some of these sermons that I'm preaching these days, Eugene Peterson, and the name of the book is Leap Over a Wall, writes, "The wilderness can be used geographically," and that's what I've just described, a place where there are no conveniences, "but it can also be used as a spiritual metaphor. When it is used as a spiritual metaphor, we all live in a wilderness. All of us. It doesn't matter how developed Western civilization or any other civilization is, there is an element of the wilderness in it. Our society will take the pictures of a wilderness if we really look at it very, very closely. I would describe our spiritual wilderness as a place where Satan rules and sin is out of control. Let me say that again. I would describe our spiritual wilderness as a place where Satan rules and sin is out of control. While humans can take a geographical wilderness and turn it into a safe and enjoyable place to live, humans are not able to bring the spiritual and moral madness under control in a civilized wilderness." And we see that again and again as we look at our society. Let me just give you a couple of three examples here. Let's take the college and the university campus. Not a college and university campus has to be the cultural center. It's where some of the best trained minds in academia live and work. They are minds that have done some fantastic things for us. And now they are training other young women and men to go out in society and to do the same thing. When I walk over some of these great universities, I go by the medical school once in a while, and I see there all that is going on. Diseases that have been conquered, no longer do we worry about them. We aren't afraid of them. For good medical science can take care of them. And we go to some of the other places, the colleges of engineering. We see what they have done there in their massive buildings, etc. We go on to another particular place of business of technology. And that's where all of this computer business, etc., comes from. Yeah, they have really done a marvelous job. I'm certainly happy to be a part of this society. But on that same campus, on that same plot of land, they have not been able to really bring it under control in such a way that a young lady can walk on that campus anywhere she wants to go at any time of the night or day and not be afraid of being raped. You can't control that emotion. You can't control that appetite, they say. So what do? They warn these young women and not to go out walking after dark alone. And we have all kinds of security around us. That's what I mean. We live in a wilderness. We live in a wilderness where people cannot control themselves to the place that it is safe for a young woman to walk from one building to another at the cultural center of our society. Don't you think we live in a wilderness? When you take a look at it from the standpoint of a spiritual metaphor? Well, let's take the corporate headquarters of some big business, and all you have to do is read the newspaper and you find out about this. This is the financial center where huge profits are made that provide excellent salaries for its employees and attractive earnings for stockholders until finally one day unscrupulous leaders, motivated by greed, which they cannot control, it seems, destroy the business. And it goes out of existence. And government does not know what to do. They're somewhat embarrassed about it, and they wonder if some in government have some involvement in these hideous things that have happened there. Isn't that a wilderness? Isn't that a wilderness? I heard a man. He was not talking directly to me, but I heard a man who left a very fine job at the almost a peak of his career. And when he was asked by some in the group, "Why did you retire so early?" his answer was, "I simply couldn't take it any longer. The morals became so unscrupulous, and the only thing that seemed to motivate us was profit, 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 and beat the next company, that I'd had enough of that." Now, isn't that a wilderness? I read another account in the paper. All you had to do was turn to the newspaper. You had all kinds of illustrations for a sermon like this. It was the story of a young couple who were going to take a little vacation. And Grandma and Grandpa were coming, and they were going to take care of their three little children, all of them real young. So off they went, and they were just going to be gone for a weekend. They drove down one of these marvelous highways that had been made so nice, so convenient, and really quite safe. Once it was a dangerous desert where it was rough, but technology had made it a beautiful highway. When suddenly, from the other side, and this was a four-lane highway, a man came, crossed the median, hit them head-on, and killed both that father and that mother. He was driving while intoxicated. Here was a person who couldn't understand that a drunken driver is a killer. He didn't care. He had an appetite that he was going to satisfy. And as a result of that, two little children will be without a father and a mother. Isn't that a wilderness? Well, we don't have to go any further. And I would just ask the question, well, how do I live in the wilderness? And I think here that we learn from David. We have to accept our world for what it is. David did. We have to understand that while man has done much to make this a comfortable and exciting place to enjoy life, remember, in some ways, and we just talked about just a very few of them now, it is still a wilderness. In a wilderness, we walk in danger and must always be alert to those who would not only destroy us physically, socially, and financially, but we must also understand that they would destroy us spiritually. Now notice what happens in David's case. He has 400 people around him. You know what that is, friend? That could well be the New Testament church. What is the New Testament church? That is a group of people who confess their faith in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. I need the church. I sometimes get very, very disgusted with the church, but I need the church. I love the church, for it is there that I can go and find men and women who trust Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. It is there I can go and find my brothers and my sisters. It is there I can go and get strength. It is there I can go and be corrected. It is there I can go and find about the forgiveness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. It is there I can go and find all of my spiritual needs taken care of. David learned, you cannot walk in a wilderness alone and come out successful. There's the church. There are the believers. There are the people who walk in that personal relationship with God. Peter says it so well. He takes his world exactly as it is. And certainly that's what we have to do. This is no utopia. Let's get over this, that we're going to get rid of all of these bad things that can affect us spiritually and morally. We're not. In some ways, it gets worse and worse every day. At least that's what I've discovered in my years on this earth. It's not easy, but Peter says in his little letter, look, he says, be self-controlled and alert. Realize where you are. Realize that people can hurt you. Satan is around and he's very, very anxious to attack you. Peter goes on to say, your enemy, the devil. The devil. Yeah, a personal devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. We need Christ. We need him to strengthen us. We need our brothers and sisters in Christ. We live in a wilderness. A wilderness that in some ways is much more severe than that geographical witness which we have talked about. Do you find life frightening? I believe that, from my experience, that we do. Understandable. There are many things that can hurt us. But when we are close to the Lord Jesus, then all is well. Even in the most civilized, educated, and affluent society, the wilderness is still there. But God walks with us through the wilderness in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set voices of truth thou sendest clear, and while the wave notes fall on my ear, everything false will disappear. Silently now I wait for thee, ready my my ears illumine.
Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word that has taught us how to live in the wilderness, and that is to trust you, to know that we cannot escape from all of these things that are round about us that could hurt us spiritually as well as physically and every other way, but that you're the one who has said that you are right there to comfort us and to strengthen us. Oh God, grant that we may get a picture of the Lord Jesus as the one who personally attends us under all conditions. For then, O God, we believe that some of the fear that could be found in our hearts can be taken away just to know that we do not walk alone. We know, Heavenly Father, that there are many this day who live with fears, the fear of failing health, the fear of growing older, the fear of having lost their income, and they don't know how they're going to make it. Lord, that's a wilderness. It's not a pretty picture. We wish, O God, that somehow or other it could be changed. But that's living here, we understand. And so we pray that as we live here, you will give us grace and strength to rest on this, that in Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ we are safe. Open our eyes that we may see your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. May today's gospel message give you a strong foundation for the week ahead. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry. We thank each of you for your continued financial support. A memorial gift is a meaningful way to remember a loved one, whether a relative or a friend, when we die. Memorial gifts are sometimes given to remember a very special person on his or her birthday or some other occasion. Reverend Larson writes the feature article of our quarterly newsletter called The Crusader. To receive this free newsletter, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. Cassette tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Our website is here to serve you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Hundreds of sermons are available to be read or printed out for a friend. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's christiancrusaders, all one word, .org. The daily devotional, Our Daily Bread, is also available on our website. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa. Christian Crusaders is now in our 67th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.